Major League Baseball lost a pair of Hall of Famers this past week. Former Baltimore Orioles manager Earl Weaver and St. Louis Cardinals star Stan Musial. NPR's Mike Pesca is here to remember the two greats. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Let's start with Stan the Man. I mean, he was named this for a reason, apparently.
He was in fact, male. He was great. He was, if you see a list of the greatest baseball players of all time, and Musial isn't in the top 10, throw away the list, because I don't want to just lay a bunch of statistics on you, but God, the statistics are so good.
Give me a couple.
Yeah, he's fourth all-time in hits. He made 24 All-Star games. He won three World Series, and such a long career. In 1942, as a 21-year-old, he hit .315. In 1960, as a 41-year-old, he hit .330. He wow. clipped his eyebrows so he could see the ball better. His three MVP awards included four second-place finishes, and he finished second to guys like Hank Aaron and Roy Campanella and Jackie Robinson. And there was one year, I think his best year was 1943. If he had just hit one more, I'm sorry, 1948, if he had just hit one more home run, he would have led the league in doubles, triples, homers, RBIs, and batting average. It's amazing. Amazing player.
I mean, clearly he had skills. He was also, though, kind of a real gentleman. I mean, yeah. As I understand it, Willie Mays said once in a statement from the Hall of Fame, "I never heard anybody say a bad word about him ever."
Well, you know, Willie Mays didn't try to write a biography of him, but George Vesey did. In fact, George Vesey, the New York Times sports writer, said, there's no biography of Stan Musial. That was his motivation. So he went to write a biography of him, and he found one instance of him being churlish to anyone, and that came from a Cubs fan. So you have to wonder about that saying about a member of the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, we tend to elevate the guys and call them gentlemanly guys like Joe DiMaggio, and then if you do a deep read into their life, it doesn't quite match the legend. But with Musial, it does. And you say, you know, the thing is, and the central paradox of Musial is that everyone says he's one of the five all-time great hitters, and then everyone in their next breath will say, and he was underrated. And I think that speaks to the cultural dominance of the coasts. In fact, the name Stan the Man came from not the St. Louis Cardinals fans, but from the Brooklyn Dodger fans. And a Cardinal writer overheard one of them saying, oh, here comes that man, or here comes the man. And Stan the Man was born. But because he played in St. Louis and was unassuming, he didn't get maybe the acclaim of Ted Williams or Joe DiMaggio, but he deserves it.
We also have to talk about Earl Weaver, arguably maybe a testier guy.
Arguably. Listen to you hiding behind these weasel words. You know, this was another interesting example of personality, because when people think of Earl Weaver, they think of this 5'7" maybe dude, you know, kicking dirt on the umpire and going crazy and tearing up a rule book in front of the umpire. But he was something of a baseball savant. And there's been this whole revolution in baseball that you could summarize or boil down to Moneyball. But the things that Moneyball says, things like don't spend your outs on stealing or bunting, hit home runs, pitching, defense, this was all stuff that Earl Weaver internalized. He just kind of felt it. You could say that in the last 50 years, you could make the case that Earl Weaver was one of the best or the best manager who's managed in the last 50 years.
Okay, you have a curveball this week?
I do, because we've been talking about Weaver's personality, Musial's personality. You know, the personalities of athletes and what they mean and how we build them up has been in the news with Lance Armstrong and Manti Te'o. And we've been following the story of the Notre Dame linebacker who apparently was hoaxed into believing he had a girlfriend who lived on the internet, and then she died. He took inspiration. So what do we take away from this, rather than reveling in a crazy story of the internet and catfishing and finding out there's a new verb called catfishing? Let me read this quote. It's from Tommy Craggs. He's the editor of Deadspin, which broke the story. Yeah. And he said, I understand why a lot of people just repeated the story that Manti Te'o had a girlfriend. He says, I have less sympathy for the folks who crafted those painstaking love story and cleat feature stories about Manti and his dead girlfriend. They were dumb, infantilizing stories to begin with, and they were executed poorly and sloppily. And if there's any lesson to be drawn from this, it's that this kind of simpering dreck, should be eliminated from the sports pages entirely. And I think that we should do not only to check our facts, but check, as sports writers, check the myths. Check the myths we're creating and check them against the reality of these human beings who embody these myths.
Words to live by. NPR's Mike Pesca, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.